Now we're continuing with Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We're discussing the Krishna Bhajan at the level of Asakti. And this is called Panchmayam Sadhana, which parallels this devotional stage of Asakti, parallels this verse from Sri Kshastikam. Ai nanda tanashikinkaram patitam bam shameva ambro kripyatava parapankajasti didduli sadrisham vachintya. This level, this indicates, this verse, Lord Chaitanya is praying, indicates attachment. The intense attachment one feels as he progresses towards the lotus feet of the Lord in loving surrender and has its symptoms and qualities. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sees, as he deeply pondered this verse in his meditational trance, in what is called Nam Samadhi, chanting the holy name, in this verse he saw the eternal service of Radharani condensed here, and he saw what is known as Mundri Bhav, this loving mood of a sakhi, loving mood of a friend, female friend, towards Radharani as a servant. He saw all of these things in one word. Ai nanda tanaja kinkara. Kinkara means servant. To become a humble servant is a kinkara. So Radharani's servants, her intimate servants, are not masculine. They're not males, they're females. They're sakis, the mandris. Mandris is a type of sakhi, pran sakhi. So therefore he spends the most part of this chapter describing what is a kinkari, what is a mandri, and how one qualifies or becomes prepared to become one of Radharani's maidservants, which is the primary teaching of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which was given by Lord Chaitanya and spread and taught by his followers. So we're discussing this verse in this chapter 5. This is verse 18, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining how this type of sakhi has exclusive attachment, exclusive undivided attachment for the service of Radha. Padab jayastava vina varadasyameva nanyat kadapi samaye kila devi jache sakya yate mama namo sunamo stu nityam tasya yate mama raso suraso su satyam. This is a verse. Raghunath Das Goswami is praying in Vilapkusamanjali. Raghunath Das is the Prayojan Acharya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He is actually teaching those that are interested in this most sublime and secret teaching of Lord Chaitanya, those that are interested in pursuing this rahasyam, this greatest secret of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. They will follow this line of Radharani Seva. They will try to become a pure devotee of Radharani, as our Guru Maharaj was. They will try, because his father Gauramohan Day, Srila Prabhupada's father, Gauramohan Day, he understood, he was also a Gaudiya Vaishnava. And he clearly understood that the goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Radhadasyam, is to become a devotee and servant, a pure servant of Srimati Radharani. He himself was endeavoring for that and serving in that mood and praying in that mood and studying the scriptures describing that, the Goswami Granthas, the Bhakti Granths. So whenever any saintly person came to his house, which was regularly, daily, then he would beg some ashirvad from that saintly person. He would say, O Sadhu, O Vaishnava, please will you bless my Lala, please you bless my Abai, my son. Will you please bless him that he will become a pure devotee of Radharani, Srimati Radharani. I think most everyone knows this fact that's in the Lilamrita. So this was the intention, this was the sankalp, this was the resolution and desire of Prabhupada's father, that like me and like all of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, may my son become a pure devotee of Radharani. And that goes without saying. And Prabhupada was certainly a pure devotee of Radha and Krishna. And especially engaged in the service of Srimati Radharani. So this is the verse he's saying, "Oh Devi," Raghunath Das is saying, "Oh Devi, I have no other desire than for the topmost attainment of servitude to your lotus feet. I forever offer obeisances to the position of being your sakhi, your friend of equal rank. But may I remain firmly attached to being your maidservant. I speak this as a solemn vow." It's like a sankalpa or a satyam. So, we've been discussing already for some days in this purport, and now we're coming towards the end of this purport. And in this purport, because Rupa Goswami says, "I don't want to be an equal with yours, because you can have different friends. You may have friends." Sakhi means friend, female friend. Sakha means male friend. You may have a friend, say this is females, you may have some female friends that are very close to you. They're equal age, they're the same age as you are, and they're the same interest, and have the same many of the same ideas. So you feel you can share with them. But these same friends, you may feel embarrassed in certain circumstances. Then you may have some other friends that are quite junior to you. They're quite younger. They're younger than you, and they have a different angle or different vision of the life in some ways. And so their mood towards you, because they're younger, is they look up to you. They look up to you and they see you as their elder sister, as their leader, as their advisor. So they feel a little bit submissive towards you, or a little bit subservient to you. So you don't feel much threatened by them or much competition from them. It's a different feeling. So Radharani, she has different groups of sakhis or friends. And so Lalita and Vishakha, they're equals. They're basically same age, same qualities, same interests. And their interest is Krishna. The sakhi's interest is Krishna. And so is Radharani's. So there are many circumstances where Radharani feels threatened by some of these sakhis. If they're in the opposite party, they become rivals. If someone is of equal age and rank, she may become your rival. But if someone is lower than you and in a lesser position, then she can't be really your rival. There's no question of being your rival. But the mantris are also sakhis, but they're younger, and their interest is not Krishna. They don't have any particular interest in Krishna, really, at all, so much. Their interest is only in Radharani. Their angle of vision is towards Radharani, and they're younger. And so their viewpoint is different. Their interests are somewhat different. And their only aim and ambition is to please Radharani and support Radharani and assist Radharani and serve Radharani. So Radharani doesn't feel any embarrassment from them. She doesn't feel any threat from them. She doesn't feel any shyness with them. So this is what's being described here as this Manjari Bhav, which is some special teaching of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that one can become that a sadhaka, a practitioner of bhakti yoga, he can become one of these manjaris. He can become a manjari. He can become a manjari. He can become enlisted as one of the female friends in the serving class, in the serving class of Radharani's friends. And this is one of the greatest contributions that Lord Chaitanya has come to give in this age of Kali. Only in this age of Kali, not the other 999 ages of Kali. So it's extremely rare. He has come to give what has never been given before. So Bhakti Shriyam, the beauty or effulgence of his own devotion. And this his own means her own, because Lord Chaitanya is Radharani, is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya has come to give the beauty of her own devotion, Swa Bhakti, my own devotion. So that devotion to Radharani means devotion bhakti to Radharani, swa bhakti, my bhakti, devotion to Radharani means mandri bhav. What I mean to say is devotion to Radharani means service to Radharani. And all the sakhis are rendering service to Radharani, most of them, even indirectly. Even the anti-party is rendering service to Radharani, the rival party, Vipaksha sakhis. But the mandris, they're rendering most anukulya seva, most favorable service, and intimate and direct service, loving service, Radharani's own mandris. So this discussion is going on about those personalities. Radhara sarupa Krishna prema kapalata sakigana hayatara Pallava Pushpa Pata, Krishna Lila Mrita Jari, Lata Kesan Chai, Nija Sukhaite Pallava Dhyara Koti Sukhai. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8, Chapter 8, verse 209 and 10. And this verse, Lalita Sakhi, Rai Ramananda is speaking to Lord Chaitanya. And generally it's described that Rai Ramananda is Vishakha, although some places says he's Lalita. He's saying here, he's describing something of the nature of this love by using an analogy. He says, by nature, Sri Radha is like a creeper of Krishna Prema, like a lata, a Prema Kapa lata. And the Sakhis are leaves and flowers and twigs of that creeper. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on that creeper, the leaves, flowers, and twigs experience a happiness millions of times greater than if they were directly sprinkled with this nectar. So it's very interesting. Radharani is the Mukhya Prema Shraya. She's the principal shelter of love, of Krishna's love. But she, here in this analogy, she's compared to the she's the creeper, like the main branch. Yeah, the main branch. And then there's small twigs that off the main branch are small twigs. Then on those twigs there's leaves, right? And at the end of those twigs, then one flower comes. So the different categories of sakhis, the different categories of sakhis are like leaves and flower and twig. And the main branch, the creeper itself is Radharani. So Radharani plus the different categories of sakhis makes this prema kalpa lata, this creeper. Lata means lata, means creeper. You understand creeper? This is a creeper. You put a rope to the roof and then it creeps. Creeping means walk. The plant is planted here. The root is here. But it's going there. Jack and the beanstalk. Malati. Madhumalati. At night, very fragrant. Very, very fragrant at night. So this is what is in the kunjas, and the, wrapping around in the corners of the kunjas, the intimate bowers where Radha and Krishna meet at night, or in day also, in daytime. There's four trees in the four corners, and there's hedges and flowering hedges in between. And then around the trees in each corner, these madhumalati, and different types of creepers, either day-blooming creepers, if it's a daytime kunja for daytime pastimes, if it's a nighttime kunja, for pastimes at night after rasa dance, then they're night blooming latas. So these are night blooming for the evening pastimes. And on the wall, at least here, this is our meditation. On the wall going up there, we have day blooming. We have madhu malati, which blooms at night. Then the white malati we have on the wall, they bloom in the daytime, and they're very fragrant in the daytime. They have white flowers. They stay white. And the madhumalati is white and red. You see these white and red. They turn white and red. So in the daytime, they'll be in that part of the kunj. And nighttime in this part of the kunj. It's like this. So now this very interesting point that Ramananda Roy is telling Lord Chaitanya, that when Krishna comes and meets Radharani, Krishna comes and meets Radharani, has different sambhog lila, different pastimes of love and enjoyment together, julan lila, etc., banvihar, and bhojan lila. Bhojan lila means eating together, having picnics together. Radha and Krishna and the gopis, they have picnics. They have a picnic, what we call a picnic at Radhakund or anywhere. In the evening time after rasa dance, they eat some fruits and they drink some kadambari, which is a type of madhupan, or we could say honey wine. And they enjoy this bhojan lila. And so it says, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna lilamrita jari lataki sinchai. When you have a creeper, to make that creeper grow and flourish and produce more leaves and more flowers, then you have to put water on it. You water the creeper. And that, for the creeper, that water is like amrit. It is like nectar. The more you put the water, the more the creeper grows luxuriously and with verdantly and very productively. More leaves, more flowers, and the creeper keeps growing, like you see here. When it started, it was only 1 inch high. It's kind of presumptuous. We have a creeper, and we make a 35-foot rope from the ground to the top. And you put the creeper on the soil, and it's this high. And it's not even wrapped around the rope yet. It's just coming out of the ground. And then he comes out, and we say, come on, get going. Grow. Move up. Go, go, go. So then he starts going, okay, 1 inch, 2 inch. Then after a couple of years, he's 30 feet high. They just... So this is the creeper of Krishna. It says Krishna Prema Kalpalata. Krishna Prema Kalpalata. This is the... Not that, but maybe, I don't know. This is the creeper of Prema. So Radharani is that creeper. So then... But in this case, instead of water going on the creeper to make it grow, we're talking about the creeper of Radharani and the Sakis. And the water is Krishna Lilamrita. It says Krishna Lilamrita. We've heard of Prabhupada Lilamrita, right? It's Krishna Lilamrita Jadi Latake Sinchai. When the water of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on the creeper, something very, very amazing and astounding happens. What happens? Nija Sukahaite Palavadhyara Koti Sukahai. It says that the twigs and the leaves and the flowers, they experience millions of more times happiness than the creeper itself. The main branch of the creeper doesn't experience as much happiness. So what this is saying is that Radharani, who is the main branch, she doesn't experience as much happiness as the twigs. It means the pransakis and the nitya sakis and the parama prasya sakis and the priya sakis, they experience koti sukha. Koti sukha haya. They experience koti, millions of times more happiness than Radharani. This is a very amazing thing. So this is the Manjaris, who are simply handmaidens or servants, humble servants of Radharani. It's a very astounding thing when you think about it. Imagine a small analogy. You are simply working in some king's palace, and all you do is sweep the floors. You sweep the floors here and there. And then someone comes along, and they see, oh, you are simply a menial servant of the king, sweeping his floors. But you're experiencing a million times more happiness than the king. How is it possible? He has so many queens, so much powers, money, bog, this, everything. It's very amazing. This is the very amazing point. In the Govinda Lilamrita, one also finds this type of description. When Krishna touches Sri Radha, Satvik Bhavs, means what I already said, Tveta Kampa Ashu, all these crying, all these transformations, they also arise in the bodies of our Manjaris. That's called, we were saying that the other day, in Christianity they have something called stigma. Stigma that people identify with the crucifixion, so much of Jesus' crucifixion, that their hands and feet become bloody, and you know they have they experience the crucifixion. It's called stigmata, something like that. Someone told me stigmata. So that it's not so gory though. this identification or this, sometimes they use the term vicarious enjoyment, but it's not really vicarious enjoyment. The Manjaris are so much tanmoy. Tanmoy means mixed with or one with the mood of Radharani, the one with the mood of Radharani, one with the experience of Radharani, that whatever Radharani experiences with Krishna, they directly experience. So there's no separate need for them to meet independently with Krishna. There's no separate need for them to enjoy with Krishna or to experience Krishna directly, because simply by remaining in allegiance to Srimati Radharani and being subservient, dasi of Radharani, they derive everything, even a millionfold more. When Krishna drinks the nectar of Radha's lips, the same bhava is reflected in the nitya and pran sakis. this is another way of saying Manjaris, who become intoxicated. This is described in the first verse of Vilapkut Samanjali by Raghunath Das Goswami. Tam rupa manjri saki pratita puresmin vam sa parasya varanam nahi pashisiti vimbada resha tamana gata bartrikaya yate vyadai kemu tachchuka pungavena. My dear Rupa Manjari. So here, Raghunath Das Goswami, in his sadhaka rup, well, let's say, in his siddha rup, in his sadhaka rup, he wrote this book, Vilapkosa Manjali, on the banks of Radhakund. But in his siddha rup, in his spiritual form as Rati Manjari, he's saying, oh, my dear friend, oh Sakhi, oh, my friend, Rupa Manjari, everyone in Braj knows that you are so chaste, that you're so humble and you're so chaste, that you never even look at the face of any other man other than your husband. Therefore, it's very surprising to me that I see that your lips, which are red like bimba fruits, they're red like a bimba fruit, is like a pomegranate in color. In other words, her lips are naturally very deep and attractively red in color. I see that your lips, which are red like the bimba fruits, have been bitten, means like bitten, even though your husband is not at home. Has this been done by the best of parrots? So she's asking a question. You're married. Rupa Manjari is married. She has a husband. Your husband has gone to Mathura to purchase cows. He's not here in Yavat. He's not here with you. And I'm meeting you in the morning. I know your husband. You told me yesterday that your husband is going for 3 or 4 days to Mathura to purchase cows. Now, yesterday I saw you. Your lips were okay. Now today in the morning I'm seeing you and there's some bite mark on your lips. And is it because some parrot in the forest has mistaken your lips to be a fruit? And he landed on your face? He landed on your face and he pecked your red lips with his beak, seeking the nectar therein, thinking that some sweet juice like mango ras or some sweet fruit juice was in there? Some tropicana? I mean, some type of sweet nectar. So, of course, this is all types of unspoken words here and implied meanings here. And this is not going on more in this particular point. But here, what's being said, there's two ways this is looked at. One way is that in the discussions of this verse, which are written elsewhere, acharyas say that one meaning is, and this is the point that's trying, the commentator of this Bhajan Rahasyam is showing, he's using this verse to illustrate the point that whatever happens to Radharani happens to her Manjaris. This is the point we're discussing. The Manjaris are simply absorbed in serving Radharani. Radharani is now, she's enjoying intimately with Krishna. This is her position, to be Krishna's consort and his beloved. So they're enjoying together in the Nikunj. And sometimes they're embracing, sometimes Krishna's kissing Radharani, sometimes maybe biting her lip in the happiness of love. And then the Manjaris are pulling on a ceiling fan, they're fanning them, or they're offering some tambu, or they're massaging their feet, or maybe they're just witnessing these divine pastimes, these spiritual pastimes through the interstitches, means the little openings in the kunja, outside the kunja. Or they're ready to do some service. But whatever Radharani is experiencing, this is the point that's being made here, the Manjaris are also directly experiencing. So therefore, Rati Manjari notices, oh, I see that some parrot has bitten your lips, which means that you were, I suppose, that you were serving Radha and Krishna's confidential pastimes. And Radharani, by seeing this bite mark on your lip, this proves to me or indicates to me that you are serving Radharani and Krishna, and Krishna bit Radharani's lips. And so she has a bite mark on her lips, and that has come to your lips because of identification, tanmay. Identification at the level of prema and siddhadeya in the spiritual world. So this is, he's using this verse to further show this point. Like Sri Radha, Radha's mandris have a type of rati, a type of loving attachment to Krishna called samartha rati. These are some technical terms from Ujjvala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami. He, on this level of prema, as we mentioned in earlier classes, everything is hierarchy. Everything, everywhere you find hierarchy, you find divisions. If you take wealth, well, we say he's a wealthy man. Well, how wealthy? Well, is he filthy rich, or is he only rich, or is he filthy rich? There's different degrees. So everything has degrees, like a thermometer. There's not one degree, there's so many degrees. So the same thing in prema, there's different degrees. And of course, this is very much elaborately explained in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami about the hierarchy of devotees, the hierarchy of the holy dhams, and the hierarchy of devotion or prema. And we also have some contact with that in our studies. We have the idea of kanishtam, madhyam, uttam. We've heard these terms. I think everyone's heard these terms. Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari, and even other acharyas, they have further subdivided it like this. Kanishta Kanishta, Kanishta Madhyam, Kanishta Uttam. And there's explanations for all of that and characteristics. Then Madhyam Kanishta, Madhyam Madhyam, Madhyam Uttam. Then Uttam Kanishta, Uttam Madhyam, Uttam Uttam. So there, we thought there was only three, and we go deeper into it, we find there's nine. And then Mahabhagavats and different types of Mahabhagavats. This is told in Bhakti Sandarbha. Different types of Mahabhagavats. We use always a Mahabhagavat. Which type? Which type? So it's the more you know, the less you know. The more you learn, the more you learn that you have to learn more. The more you learn, the more you learn there's more to learn. So you never stop learning. So in this level of prema in the spiritual world, when we're talking about the eternal associates, the parishads, the nitya parikars of the Lord, when we're talking about the eternal associates of the Lord, then there's also different levels of love. There's different hierarchies of love. There's samartha rati, samanjasa rati, and then there's the sadharani rati. So we say, oh, I thought it was just love of God, Krishna prema. I thought it was just Krishna prema. The goal is Krishna prema. Yes, in this world, the highest thing we can attain in this human form of life is Krishna prema. And then if we, at Krishna prema, we'll have our siddhadeha, our sarup siddhi, attain our spiritual body. But that only will come to that threshold of prema and experience some limited depth of ecstatic experiences or ecstasies. And then we'll go to Bhauma Vrindavan, to the planet where Krishna is having his Prakat Lila, manifest pastimes, in that siddhadeha, will appear there. And there we'll find out, guess what? Remember last life, you struggled and worked so hard and prayed and somehow attained the mercy and you attained Krishna prema? And you thought, wow, I made it, Krishna prema. Well, that's only a beginning. Now you have to enroll in the school of prema. And the teachers are the mandris and sakis, the nitya parishads, the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna. They will train you in Bhauma Vrindavan. Did you know that there's seven levels of prema? Oh my God, there's more, there's going on more. I thought Krishna prema was the prema. I thought it was prema purushartha. Panchama purushartha. I thought the fifth goal of life was prema. I made it. I thought that's it. I mean, I have my degree, a PhD. I mean, there's a PhD. There's something more than a PhD. There's a triple PhD. So you have to, when you get there, then they say, yes, you have to attain sneha. Sneha? Duh, what's that? Sneha, then man, then pranaya, then rag, then anurag, then bhav, then mahabhav. Oh my God, back to school? So the teaching goes on, the teaching goes on. So hierarchy. Divisions, levels, it's not all one. Although we wish it was. We make it real easy. But then Lord Chaitanya gave us a consolation. He said, yes, it is all one. Yes, it is all one. Then all the Mayavadis feel happy. Yes, you're Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You're he's also Advaitin Sannyasi. He's also Ekdandi Sannyasi. And he also says it's all one. Yes, he says it's all one. But he also says it's all different. It's a chinti. And then the other guy, the Mayavadi, says, hey, wait a minute. I can't figure this out. You say it's all one. Now you say it's all different. Yes, it's a little inconceivable. It's a little inconceivable. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya called his philosophy achintya. Achintya beta, abeta tattva. It's inconceivably, simultaneously one and different. So now, the speciality of the rati, or intense loving attachment, of Radharani and her gopis to Krishna is called samartha rati. Samartha rati. That all their only aim and objective, sama, means completely, only, absolute, singular attachment, their artha, their goal or object is Krishna. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. Whether he breaks me or makes me or takes me or wakes me or throws me or embraces me, it doesn't matter. He is the object of my love, the object of my service, the object of my meditation. He is my prana, he is my life, he is my everything. I don't have even one drop of concern for myself or any interest in my own happiness. I have no desire to be a little bit even happy with Krishna. Or what. He can make me miserable. Radharani prays. Ananti Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a most astounding expose on the mood of love. No one in the world, no one in the history of love songs or love poems could ever conceive of such a mentality as revealed in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita in the words of Srimati Radharani that are contained therein, where she opens her heart to the world and she says this statement. She says, if my beloved, if Krishna, if he finds happiness by making me unhappy, I accept that unhappiness as my greatest source of happiness. In other words, if you find pleasure pounding me into the ground and knocking my teeth out and giving me black eyes, if that gives you pleasure, oh, do it. Knock me out, knock out my teeth, give me black eyes, kick me, throw me on the ground. If that gives you happiness and pleasure, that distress that I, that, if that gives you happiness, then I accept that distress, which is my distress, to be my greatest source of happiness. No, you'll never find anywhere in any language, in any culture, such intensity of love, loving mood as this is of Radharani. So she is the exemplar, the epitome of this type of Krishna rati, which is called Samartha rati. And the mantris have the same rati, Samartha rati. This rati, or intense loving attachment, is causelessly present in the mantris in a transcendental, incomprehensible, inconceivable way. And it's very difficult to understand also. This is told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this text 18, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he's praying to attain what is called, it's a technical term, Palya Dasi Bhav. Like we have the word Gopal. Gopal means the protector of the cows. In general, we say like that. It has other meanings. The protector of the senses. Go means senses, indriya, the senses, the heart, the mind. Many meanings. Gopalya, Gopal. So Palya Dasi means a protected maidservant. Palya Dasi Bhav means that mood, that mellow, that loving inclination towards Radharani, that I'm surrendered fully to Radharani's service. I don't want anything more in this world or at any time, in any place, than to please Radharani and to bring happiness to her. She is my everything. She is my all in all. She is the aim and objective of my breathing, my seeing, my thinking, my feeling, my desiring. Everything is for Radharani. Radharani Age, Radharani Piche, Radharani Upar, Radharani Niche, Radharani Vaya, Radharani Daya. No, Danya, Dainu. Radharani's in front of me and behind me, to the right and left of me, above me, below me. Radharani Bahir, Radharani Antar. Radharani is outside, Radharani is inside. Everywhere is Radharani. There are some songs like this. So this is the intensity of absorption. This is the intensity of absorption and focus of a mantri. So that type of bhav, it's given a term, palya dasi bhav. That this maidservant, this dasi, this female servant, female friend, this submissive friend, she is, Radharani, you are my master, you are my swamini. Like swami, swamini. You are my mistress or empress. You are my swamini. I am your servant. So it is generally seen, even in this world, that the servant is protected by the master. Because they have a relationship. They have master-servant. There is some duty and responsibility of the servant to the master. And in a reciprocal way, there is also duty and responsibility of the master. The master must maintain the servant. And he must nourish and feed the servant. And he must protect him. Protect him means he has a servant. If he's a chokidar, he can't say, well, okay, you sleep on the ground. No, he has to give him a little house to stay in. He has to protect him from the elements, from the winter, from the cold. He has to give him a fan in the summer and a heater in the winter and blankets. This is called protection, palya. So this is common understanding. So in the spiritual world, in the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then the maidservants, they're surrendered to Radharani. So that actually they're protected. So this palidasya means a protected maidservant. She's nourished, protected, confidential. So this is the type of bhav. And the mantris have that bhav. He's praying. I'm praying to attain this palidasi bhav, this mood. That I'm surrendered to my master, and surely my master will protect me, will nourish me, will take care of me. So I'm surrendered to Radharani. I've enlisted in her service. In her divine service, so surely she will maintain me, she will care for me and protect me. In this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is using the words rasostu. By this he expresses an ever fresh heightening of prema, and he prays to Sri Swamini, Srimati Radhika, not to cheat him, either with clever words or by giving him other blessings. So in this verse, as we heard, in Vilap Kusumandri, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, please, don't bless me and bring me into your confidential circle of sakis and friends and take away my service. No, you are a mantri, you're my maidservant. You don't have to serve me so humbly anymore. Just move with me. Move with me like one of my sakis, like Lalita Meshaka and Tungavidya and Sudevi. And you can chit-chat, talk with me, and you can be like equal with me. Raghunath Das is praying. Rati Mantri is praying. No, don't do this. This is like he says, don't cheat me like this. I feel like you're trying to cheat me and offer me this promotion and bring me and take away my service. My place is at your feet, massaging your feet, carrying your messages, fanning you, bringing you scented water, making garlands for you, doing any humble service, any menial service for your pleasure. This is my joy. This is my position. And don't flatter me, and don't offer me some blessing. I don't want it. This is all they want. So then, that's the end of this verse. Now we go to the next verse. And there's only about three more verses. This is text 19, text number 19 in Panchmayam Sarana, chapter 5. Again, as I mentioned, this practically the entire chapter is discussion and commentary on one word from the fifth shloka of Shikshastakam, Kinkaram. Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Kinkaram means servant. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. But somehow or other, I have fallen in this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of misery and keep me fixed as an atom in the dust of your lotus feet. This is the prayer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in Radha Bhav. Oh, Nanda Nandan, I am your Palyadasi, I'm your servant, just don't cast me aside. I'm suffering in separation from you. I'm feeling Visha Ambuda. Of course, there's different levels this verse is taken at. We think ourselves, from our level, we think, yes, I'm drowning in the ocean of sense gratification. But Radharani is saying the Visha Bhava, from her viewpoint, Ambudi, means I'm drowning in an ocean of poison. The poison is that I'm being, like when some snake, if some sarp or some cobra bites someone, the poison, when the poison goes in the blood, the body becomes very hot, very burning. The whole body starts burning, very hot, and then you just practically burn up with a fever. You get so hot and you die. And the heart becomes very fast, and there's seizure, and the heart seizes. But some of the symptoms of this poisonous effect is burning. So in this verse, spoken in Gambhira, in Jagannath Puri, in the confines of the Gambhira, towards the end of Mahaprabhu's manifest Leela, deeply absorbed in Radhabhav and Madanakya Mahabhav of Radharani, he's crying out, "Oh, Nanda Nandan, I am your kinkar, I'm your kinkri, I'm simply your servant, and now you've left me, you've gone to Mathura and Dwarka, and I'm just burning, Vishame Bhavambudo. He says this Vish means poison. I am burning from the poison of separation from you. And this poison, it's like a bhava ambudi. Bhava means existence. We generally say bhava. Bhava means material existence. But the word bhava means existence. The predicament that I find myself in, the existence that I'm experiencing right now is ambudi. Vishame bhava ambudi. Ambudi means ocean. This type of existence, what I'm existing in, what I'm surrounded by, is an entire ambudi ocean. I'm existing in this ocean of vish, poison. Being separated from you, I feel that I've just been dropped in an ocean. What kind of ocean? Salt water? Fresh water? No. Poison. Vish. Vish means poison. We read about Amrit Sindhu. Remember we're reading this word Amrit Sindhu. Premananda Amrit Sindhu. That this bhakti is like Premananda Sagar. This is an ocean of nectar of prem. But Radharani is also in the highest prem, but it's Madanakya Mahabhav. And this Unnat Ujjwala Prema. She's feeling so much. Love also has two banks of the river. One embankment is Union, Sambhog, and the other embankment is Viparlamba. There's two banks, Tata. There's Viparlamba Tata and there's Sambhoga Tata. Tata means the bank. There's two banks of the river. So this is the embankment of separation. Tata means bank or the border, the edge. So now this is the river, the Prem Nadi. The river is Prema, the Prem Nadi. But one bank of the river is separation, one bank is union. Union with the lover, that's Sambhog. Separation from the beloved is Viparlamba or Viraha. So now this verse is describing separation from Nanda Nandan. Ai, Nanda Nandan. Ai, Nanda Tanuja. Kinkaram. I'm your servant. You're my master, but you've left me. And I'm burning in this ocean. Have you forgotten me? I'm such a worthless servant. I didn't render any good service that you ran away and forgot me and forsook me and dropped me into an ocean of poison. You don't care anything for me? Can I remind you? Didn't I do some service? Can't you at least come back and pick me up? And I'm not asking for any big time intimate service, but just keep me at Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintya. Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintya. Just you kick me around. Like sometimes people say, okay, you may kick me, like a master has a dog, so the dog may say to the master, I don't care what you do to me. You can kick me here and there, but just keep me around and throw me a few bones. You can kick me. I'm your old dog. You can kick me, but don't forget to feed me and pet me once in a while. So Radharani is saying in this verse, fifth verse from Shikshastakam, all right, please, I'm separated from you and I'm drowning in this ocean of poison. Couldn't you come back and just kick me around? Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintya. Duli means dust. And fix, couldn't you just fix me as a particle of dust on your lotus feet and let me do that service? Can I occupy that much position? May I occupy that much position in your life? Can you accept me in your life as a speck of dust? Can you imagine a lover saying something like this? You have some lover and she says, okay, I don't expect you to give me much. I don't expect you to give me much. It's like the Pandavas begging for 5 steps of land from the Kauravas. They wanted 5 steps of land in Kurukshetra, Mahabharata, and they denied it. So imagine a lover coming and say, look, I'm not asking for much. I don't want a room in it. I don't want a house. Just, can you consider me this much in your life? Can I be a speck of dust in your life? Can I be a speck of dust sitting on the bottom of your feet, not even on the top of your feet? Can you grant me that much association? Can you give me that much access? Can you give me that much position in your consciousness, in your heart? Can I become a speck of dust in your heart? You follow. This is this prayer. And then absorbing himself, or herself rather, Radharani absorbing herself in this intense mood of separation from her beloved Prananath, then what happens? Nayanam galadashadariya vadanam gadgara vriyagira pulakar nichitam bhugata tavanama grahane bhavishyati. She starts, as we say, bawling. She starts weeping and crying. Nayanam galad ashu. Ashu, tears are flowing down from her eyes. Oh, my Lord. And then this is the progression. This is the internal dialogue or internal revelation of the heart of Radharani in this verse of Shikshastakam. But that's to see from a distance through a telescope and offer respects to and dandavats to and do puja to such lila and do puja to such bhavas. And then we take it down to us and look through the microscope. We put the verse under the microscope and look at it. Then we see something different, closer at hand. Then we say, Oh Krishna, I'm drowning in an ocean of sense gratification. Please pick me up, help me. Isn't it? This is how we generally present the verse, isn't it? Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm drowning in an ocean of sense gratification. This Bhava Sagar, this ocean of material existence, please pick me up because you are the swift deliverer. You're the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. You're telling in Bhagavad Gita that you come down and deliver. Please deliver me. You're Patita Pavan. You're the purifier of the fallen, and I am Mahapatit. I am most fallen. I am Mahapatit. I am so fallen, unlimitedly fallen. So my claim is first. Please lift me up from this ocean. And all I want, I'm just begging for a little service at your feet. That's the general understanding for the sadhaka. But all these verses, of course, have explained the full gamut of sambandha, avideya, and prayojan. So each verse of Shikshastakam can be analyzed in these three different ways. From the level of sambandha, from avideya or prayojan tattva. So it depends on your angle of vision or what you want to extract from Shikshastakam. And your adhikar, and our own level. What's applicable to us at particular times, that we will get from Shikshastakam. Because the entire Vedic literature is in Shikshastakam. All the Shrutis, all the Smritis, all the Puranas, Upavedas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, Itihasas, 108 Upanishads, and 18 Puranas, and the Vidangas, and the Brahmanas, and the Samhitas, and Aranyakas. Did I leave anything out? All of that together, it's been put in a zip file, to use modern terms of all of us computer literate folks. It's all been put into a zip file. Zip, zoop. It's all been compressed into 8 verses. So that's why it's like, if you open it up, it's like one of these jack-in-the-boxes. You know, jack-in-the-box. They put this thing down in the box and you boing it. Full of spring, boing, and goes out. It can expand unlimitedly because it's all about Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. Ananta rupam, ananta namam, ananta lilam. So I think we'll start the next verse tomorrow. Verse 19. We'll start tomorrow. So any questions for the last couple of minutes? Our God Brother is asking us, Nityodita, is that If someone is practicing devotional service and then for some reason they appear to stop their practices and leave, is this, and there's some gap, 20 years or 20 lifetimes or whatever. What's happening in this circumstance, it appears that there's no more action, there's no more activity on the bhakti marg, and the person is absorbed again in karma or material activities. Firstly, that bhakti is transcendental and it creates a sanskara. A samskara means a permanent, indelible or permanent impression on the citta or the consciousness, as does bhoga. Bhoga also makes samskara. And bhoga samskaras are changeable and they come and go. But bhakti is, because it's transcendental, it stays with the atma. Even it's told, if someone makes the most heinous offense, and he offends Vaishnavas, and the mad elephant offense, Matahati and all these things. And it appears that even it says his piety is extinguished, his lifespan is decreased, his wealth is decreased. All these things happen, these reactions happen if someone offends a great devotee. He loses his taste for bhakti, he becomes deeply enmeshed in maya, and all these things. But still, the bhakti, the sanskara, the tendency to serve Krishna, and that because he did that service, is not lost. It's covered, it's in a dormant stage for some time. And that's because Krishna, but it's not lost, it's never lost, which we mentioned also in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, verse 40, Meha Bikrama Nashasti. It's never lost. And then Krishna is just holding him in abeyance for some time. He's paying some penalty. He's undergoing, because actually, when one leaves Krishna and gives up his service, he suffers. He suffers one way or the other, consciously or unconsciously, and usually quite consciously. And in that suffering, that is Krishna's mercy. And then he comes to his senses. And then at some point, he becomes rightly situated in relation to Bhakti Marg and Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And then he begins again his bhakti. It's never lost, no matter practically whatever anyone does. That bhakti will never be lost because Krishna is so indebted and so grateful to the devotee for rendering even the littlest service. So the bhakti is eternally there. And he'll come back again, pick up his bhakti in this life or next. It'll carry over to the next life and again start. Is that what you're asking? Or?
That's not.
He blooped. He's finished. He's dead and gone. Yeah. He's out. He's no more invisible. He'd never be seen again. He blooped. Because blooped, literally bloop means you take a rock. There's some lake, and you take a rock, and you throw the rock. You see the rock. Everyone sees the rock. See this rock? And you take the rock, and you throw it in a deep lake. And when that rock enters the water, it makes a sound. And that sound, it goes bloop, bloop. And it even makes a sound, bloop. And then the rock goes under the water, and you never see the rock again. Even if you try to search for it and find it, you can't find it. It's a very deep lake. It's moving here and there with the waves and goes under the mud. You can never find the rock. So we use this term when somebody leaves Krishna consciousness. Bloop. Well, bloop means like that. He falls into the ocean of material existence and he gets into what we call maya and you never see him again. He's under the water. He's invisible. So it's all finished. It's all over. It's over. It's done. It's finished. But bhakti is not over and done and finished. It's eternal. It's transcendental. As the soul is never finished, as the soul is eternal and transcendental and never finished and never destroyed, then bhakti is never destroyed. Once attaining bhakti, it's never destroyed. It never leaves. This is a good fortune. It's because how much fortune they accumulated from so many years to get that bhakti bijam, to get the bhakti bijam implanted into the citta, is unbelievable. So compared to that, the few misdeeds an individual is doing in this life to separate him from active bhakti, the few misdeeds or sins that someone's doing in this life, comparing that to the extent and the amount of sukriti and punya that they did in last life or in this life to get that bhakti bija, it's nothing. That misdeed is nothing. Because they did like millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of good things to finally get the sadhu sangha by which the sadhu sangha and the shraddha and the sadhu sangha by which they received the bhakti bijam. And when they received the bhakti bijam And then any little thing they do, it's not enough to make that seed get destroyed or to remove that seed. It's such a wonderful accomplishment that they've really gone a long way. I remember, what was it? Avishnu John, we used to say, I heard, not directly, but someone was with him, told, when some devotees came to India, maybe, I don't know, 71, maybe he came first time, or maybe in the early times, I don't remember. Maybe 71 or 74. And then a lot of devotees were getting sick. And maybe it was 74, I don't remember. In Mayapur, and many devotees were getting typhoid and malaria, and they were sick. And they were complaining, oh, we're so sick, and all this. And then he said, no, you shouldn't think, we're so sick, why did we come to India? We should have stayed in New Vrindavan or should have stayed in America, whatever. And he said, actually, Prabhu, you should think that this sickness or this setback is a small price to pay for the great fortune we have to be right now today in Mayapur Dham. We're a little sickness, a little flu, malaria, fever. That's nothing, considering how fortunate, how great fortune we're all able to be here in Mayapur Dham or Braja Dham and in this glorious Leela Bhumi of the Lord and practice our bhakti here and get 100 times the benefit. So it's the same thing, that the fall down, someone falls from Krishna consciousness or what we know as we call blooping, someone bloops. It's not unfortunate. It's a very small thing compared to the great fortune that they already have accumulated to attain that seed of bhakti. So we should, in one sense, the people that have fall, they're more. We should think, well, he fell, but he's really fortunate. Even though he fell, and he's not practicing. Still, he's more fortunate than the other 4.9 billion people in the world. You follow? You know, the other 4.9 billion people in the world don't have the slightest idea what is bhakti, and maybe not even the slightest adhikar or qualification to ever receive bhakti in 1,000 lifetimes. And this person has bhakti, has received it. Now it's temporarily covered by something like a cloud in the sky. In a few hours, the wind blows and the cloud's gone. And the full shine of the sun is there on everyone's face. So the full sunshine of Krishna's mercy will again illuminate the face of the devotee within a few seconds. In terms of eternal time. And we'll all be together again in the spiritual world, chanting and dancing, taking prasad. All the God brothers, all the God sisters, all the wonderful devotees. Every like Prabhupada used to say, you are wonderful, your Krishna is wonderful, simply wonderful. So if someone has received that precious seed of Bhakti Lata Bija, he's glorious. Eternally glorious, no matter what he does or says or acts, he's eternally glorious. That we should understand. And his glory, maybe his glory, like you have some very costly diamond, but maybe somehow you drop it here and there and gets covered with some mud or stool or something. And you say, this diamond is dirty now. It's covered. Oh, it's not valuable. Watch out. Okay, you don't want it? No, it's all dirty. It's covered with stool. I don't want it. Okay, I'll take it. And you wash off the stool, and then you have this, 20-carat diamond, which is worth $10 million. So this Bhakti Lata Bija is like that. It's like a diamond. So valuable, so precious, so rare. So anyone who has that precious diamond, he's a rich person. He's very valuable. Oh, temporarily, maybe some dirt on the diamond. It's like this. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Manchakopa Trivyascha Vipassanu Devasya.